brain screen turn on. You're listening to the radio program about Hacker Spaces.
And welcome to the Hackerspace Hour, live from the Rackspace Studio. Today we are discussing the Iceland Hackerspace / Media Lab. We have the guests from Oxspace and Medspace, which are two hackerspaces in Holland. And we are joined by Elgino, who is writing his thesis on hackerspaces. And now, some music. Welcome back to the Hackerspace Hour. I'm Dr. Wax, and we are joined by GMC.
Hi. Hello.
Oh, that was a nice voice. And we are joined by Fubar.
Hello.
We are joined by Walter.
Hello.
Yeah. And, well, we are going to listen to the Iceland interview which Fish did. Fish can't join us tonight. He's sick. Get well, Fish. But Fish went to Iceland and discussed, talked to the hackerspace in Iceland. I really can't pronounce the name because my Iceland, this isn't that good. But we are going to listen now. GMC.
Well, good day. This is Fish talking about who Minta, who sits. And I hope I really pronounce it well because my Icelandic wasn't that well. Ingibjörg, can you please help me a little bit with the name? Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
So I translated House of Ideas.
And can you tell a little bit more about the house? What is it all about?
It's about ideas. Getting them done. Getting network to help you with your idea. Or if you have a lot of energy and want to help someone with his or her idea, you can come in here and find find a purpose or find a way to do it.
Okay, and is it about all IDs or is it more about a special focused ID, because you're doing a lot of art stuff?
Yes, this house is a cooperation between two universities. The Reykjavik University, Háskólinn í Reykjavík in Iceland, and the Icelandic Academy of the Arts, Listaháskóli Íslands. And those two found it necessary to do something when the crisis jumped on us. They saw this opportunity in having this house, making those two worlds meet, the art and the business side, and create something out of it. So we are here to help people. Company can come in, individuals can come as well, and hopefully we can connect them forward or help them or nurture them, and then they will make their ideas bigger when they move.
About 2 days ago we already discussed it a little bit about hackerspaces and so, and I already made the bridge a bit that it is actually a kind of hackerspace, but it's a little bit different formed. Do you also see it like that? Is the House of Ideas also a space for making and creating ideas and things?
Yes, it's also it's a makerspace, like hackerspace. But we don't actually do it in our hands, you know. We don't do prototypes or whatever. We don't do that. We just form the idea. And we have another center that is a prototype center here in Reykjavik. Actually, we have many hackerspaces.
You already told also a little bit about that. I know there is a Fab Lab also over here. What do we have more in Iceland?
We have Fab Lab. We have a product space where you can work on that. We have incubation centers. We have entrepreneurship centers. We have innovation centers. So it's quite various houses that we have, or spaces that we have.
That's cool. Next to us...
Very, very cool.
Well, creating communities is really important, especially also for Iceland. Next to us, we also got two other guests. We got Gunnar and Örn. I hope you pronounce it well, Örn.
Yeah, it's quite good. Örn.
It's a small N, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You're from Mind Games.
Yes.
And Mind Games is also associated with the space over here.
Yeah.
And you're using the space, and you're probably having contacts with lots of other companies within the space or people.
Yeah, absolutely. We have been here since the beginning of when the house or the venue was started in early spring, April or so, and this has been an excellent ride for us. I mean, the community here and the connections that you get out of it is extremely important. And for us, when you're building up a team and you're building from an idea, I mean, our company is Mind Games, is doing video games, mobile video games that you control with your mind, and there are a lot of networking we need to do. We are founding the company and all that. So, I mean, the support we get from the house, business related, you know, starting the company, on various areas, we are getting enormous support, and the connection and the relations we get here is excellent.
So what you're actually telling, it's not only about having a desk and internet facilities, it's also about chatting with people who have the connections in the business world or know how to build a company. So you also have support on social stuff and business stuff.
Absolutely, and I would rather say that the internet connection is fine, the desk is fine, but that's the minimum part. That's the easy part. I mean, the big part comes in the relations and the connections with the people around, where they are helping us, figuring out how should you do this, have you done that, and whom should we contact, and so on and so on. So the main support is in the people.
Thank you, Björk. We also discussed a little bit about how the house has been started, and I heard that the idea was in the beginning quite random, and so it started all from just a point of view, we just start and see what happened. It was all starting in April.
Yes, the house was opened in April, but this idea came from these two universities in October, November. And yes, and it just started, and there were like no rules in the beginning. You just could explore, or the house could expand itself, or people who are working here could sort of just go on. But now, in October, 6 or 7 months later, we are seeing that we need to structure it somehow. And as you might have seen here earlier, we were painting the floors to make this like a small city where you have your space, and it's marked, it's color marked. And then we're going to do some more stuff with the architects. There's a group of architects working in this house. They have a desk and a computer and internet, and they are sort of, this is their product to get the house more creative.
In the beginning, you told you didn't have totally any structure, and you probably learned a lot from that, isn't it?
Yes, we did. But we didn't have any major problems, though. It just took off, had its own wings, and now we're just having them or making them a bit better. We didn't have any rules like for the fridge or something like that, but maybe we should look into that a bit more. Yes.
So it's like spread your wings and fly.
Yes, it was spread your wings and fly. We want to help you, but we see there are some points that we need to sort of say, hey, you cannot do this. For instance, in between the spaces, the companies or the person, they cannot have like big walls in there. We don't want that. One or two were having cabinets that were closing up their spaces, but that's, we will not have that anymore, because it's, you cannot have your stuff all over. You will have to be movable.
Yeah, keep it open and also let people see what's happening on the floor and in the space itself. We also have another guest on the table. His name is Gunnar. He's from Meditza.
Yes, actually, I'm currently working for Meditza, but I was involved with the house before that on another level with the Home Interallianet, which is the Ministry of Ideas, which has regular meetings here about, it's like an extension or something of the house. It's the same general ideas, but it's only concerned about ideas and not about performing them.
It's all about the facilities of the house and you can call it the board of the foundation or something?
No, not really. It's like a sideshow, some sort of. It's like, just have those regular meetings, and everybody can say, well, I'd like to have a meeting about this, and if that's interesting to a few people, then just do a meeting about that. And out of that meeting might come a working group that decides to carry on. And in some cases, working groups like that have located here in the house and done something or are doing something. So it's more like a melting pot of ideas, not the functionality part of it.
Okay, that's very very nice. You're currently a user of the space. Can you tell a little bit about how you use the space and how does it work on a regular day? You just popping in and start working, or?
It's a bit like a blend between coming into like a big coffee house or a university space or somewhere you know a lot of people and you walk in and say hi. And well, usually I'm one of the first in the morning, so it's more like other people popping in and saying hi to me. But it feels a bit weird because I leave from home and then I come here and it feels a bit like I'm coming home. So it's really, really nice.
Is the same for you, Ern?
Yeah, it's one big family, definitely. Yeah. I mean, people are knowing each other, and since you're building, because the atmosphere is pretty much based on, we are on the same team, all the different companies, we are on the same team, and everybody is helping each other. So it builds this positive atmosphere. So this is like, yeah, I would say one big happy family.
And what's going to happen with this big one happy family in the future, Ingeborg?
It's going to fly. It's going to fly all over. It's going to be stronger and stronger every day. And it's just fantastic.
International connections?
Yes, we are already building international connections, and now we have hackerspaces to connect us to, thanks to you. And we have connections to the UK. And we are start slowly but securely. We are getting more and more connection.
Any projects like conferences or big meetups with Icelandic people, or maybe international people will come over?
Actually, one of the as Gunnar was talking about the Ministry of Ideas, one movement out of that is the national meeting that we're having in November, where Icelanders are coming from all over the island to meet one afternoon and to make some ground rules for us as a nation, or what we want to stand for, or what we want to do.
Like a vision plan. Like, yes. What's our vision for Iceland? So it's just like, I think 1,700 people? No,
1,500.
1,500 people from all over Iceland are coming. They're going to be in smaller groups of 9 or 10, and just going to be doing a debate and trying to get something out of that.
1,500 people, that sounds already like a conference, isn't it?
Yeah. The what's it called again? It's a huge conference. The philosophy behind it. I've forgotten the words in English for it.
The
Creative Commons is part of it.
Can you tell what's happening over there?
Yes. What you do is it's a philosophy where you. It's called the anthill. And what happens when you get the opinions of many people and try to get a consensus out of that?
It's a debate.
It's a debate, but there's like a there's a term for it which has escaped my mind at the moment.
I know what you're meaning, but I can't also find a word, so it doesn't matter. If we take a look on conference hall popping up also all over the world, and lots of hackerspaces are also doing that. Last year we had a small conference in Vienna, for example. It was about only 75 people, but don't forget, conferences don't have to be big to be very positive. Mm-hmm. So just, I'd say, broadcast your activities on the net, and you will see if people are just flying in. Currently, I saw the website isn't that active yet. Are there any plans for that to make this space more available on the map of the internet?
Yes, there is. We are on Facebook, but we don't have any web page, but I think we will sort of have to do that to be able to be more visible. So, but 75 people, like you say, in a conference, they go home and they tell 20, 30, 40, 50 people, and then it sort of goes on. So that's what we are doing.
Can be a chain reaction. Yep.
Maybe in addition to that, I mean, the Humanitarian, the Ministry of Ideas that has been mentioned, that is actually having a meeting, or you can say conference or whatnot, every week. So there is, every week there is something going on, which is sort of a venture of a conference. And
when does that happen?
Is it on Wednesday evenings, right?
Most often Wednesdays.
Yeah. And some Saturdays in addition. I think it's one Saturday every month as well, where you have some specific stuff going on. So
are those days that are just small activities also, or is it more discussion about the space itself, or you can also probably come for a workshop or so?
Sometimes we have workshop. Like 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, we had visual thinking. That we were creating visual thinking, we were making maybe business plan with visual thinking, and then we had the networking inside the law area for entrepreneurs one evening. It's different. It's just ideas that you get, and you know, hey, can I have a meeting about this? And then we do that. And one actually movement out of that was we had a TED conference here in Reykjavik 2 or 3 weeks ago, TEDx Reykjavik, and that was just planned by individuals that came from the Ministry of Ideas. So the House of Ideas is in good connection with the Ministry of Ideas, and we are sort of making all these ideas and things happening.
Sounds very well. Well, I got a really good idea about what's happening over here, and I think it's really good to build the community on this way. If you're going to take a look on activities between the spaces and communities within Iceland, is this house also going to be a role in there?
Sorry, I just remembered. Wisdom of the crowd. Is it called the system of...
We found the word. Thank you.
I didn't hear the question because it was coming up.
No, I was just mentioning... communities are in Iceland quite interesting, and you need them over here. Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen with this space, with all those communities? Are you going to act like glue or oil in the engine to let those communities work together, or is it more like you want to work on your own and participate in international IDs? Or sorry, national IDs?
No, we want to have this engine have a big chain. We only one link in the chain. We want to have oil and everything and make forward and put our influences as much as we can. That's the whole idea. Have it open, transparent. You can come in, we can connect you. We are establishing connections between the other centers, so all over the country. So it's one big chain, and we have to have it going on. We just cannot focus on ourselves.
Well, to complete this interview, I want to ask you one last question. What's about the future? And I'm starting with you, Ern.
The future of the space or the future in general?
In general. But it must be connected to the space.
Okay. Well, to start with, I mean, Iceland is probably one of those places where the economic crisis has hit us quite hard. But and the House of Ideas is sort of popping out of that crisis or whatever. There is enormous amount of energy, positive energy, creative energy coming out when you have crisis like this. And I actually see, I'm although maybe you can misinterpret what I'm about to say, but I think this crisis is extremely good for us, extremely good. And the amount of positive energy and the creative energy that you get out of it is of such a scale and so much that we need now, also for the evolution of the human spirit and all that, because we have been so focused in materialism and not thinking sort of integral approach. We have been so focused on only one aspect of our lives. So the future, okay, trying to connect this into the space and all that, I would say the future is extremely bright. We are just starting of building things like this, House of Ideas, where we're actually having a venue or a path for this creative energy to actually make something. So, and this will hopefully only evolve into something even bigger.
Those are some good words. Gunnar.
Well, I totally agree with Erden on everything that he just said, so I don't need to repeat any of that. What I'm personally hoping to see for the future in Iceland is that there are a lot of people and a lot of thoughts on how to make Iceland really more democratic, of getting more people into decision-making, a project which I'm working on with other people, internet voting system, where you can sort of get all the people to. I'm hoping that we see a better structure of Iceland coming out in the future. And there are loads of stuff coming from this house, and like Ern said, which I have to repeat, we just started here, and there's even now there are lots of stuff coming out of this house, and I just think we're just going to see more and more and more coming from here. This, I think, is really brilliant.
I think those are good words, Ingebjörg.
Yes, I totally agree with both of them. I just have to say that. And I also think that this crisis is a blessing in disguise. And our goal here is to create 500 jobs in 2 years. And that's a lot. And it's a bit pressure for us who are working in the house to make things happen. But it's a positive pressure. And if we could do that in 2 years, I mean, we can do everything. I mean, Iceland, we have so much energy. We are so strong. When we put our mind to something, we just do it. So I have no fear. I have just, you know, open heart for what's coming in the future. And this country is going to be so strong. Just watch out. It's going to take over.
So that's not, those are some nice words to finish. Thank you. Watch out for Iceland. This was a really good interview here at
the House of Ideas, Húm in the Húsið.
Thank you very much, and we'll probably talk to each other much more in the future. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So that was Fish in Iceland a couple of months ago. Interesting stuff there. I think I will go there sometime to check out what's going on there. Meanwhile, I totally forgot to tell you what the name of the first song was that we played. It was a song by the 486 Kid. He's on soundcloud.com. He's got a couple of tracks there, 4-bit dub made with Game Boys, some Atari ST in there. This song was called Gangsters. So what's up next? I think we have someone on the line. Who could it be, Dr. Wax?
That is Psychic, DMC.
Is Psychic there, actually?
Good evening.
Hello? Hello, Psychic.
Yes, good evening, everyone.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
So you are involved in two hackerspaces, I heard, in the Netherlands?
Yes, both. Indeed in both. X-Space, which I will talk about, and MadSpace. Let's first start with X-Space. I mean, that's basically the most active hackerspace we are working on now.
And where is the space located? Or is it
spotting? Space is located in the south of the Netherlands, in Heerlen, which is really near the edge of Germany, way down in the south. And we currently are in the startup phase of that space. We don't have a physical space yet, but it will be there very, very soon.
Oh, wow.
It's things are looking good. I mean, we have a few members now which are really active on the space, and more people coming in, more people wanting to join. And we definitely do want more people to join that space so we can have a great space in the south, because I think that will be the most south space of the Netherlands.
I think so too. But if you look to the east and the west, there is not a lot of Netherlands left, I think. Are you aiming to accommodate people from Belgium or Germany as well?
Well, we know that there were two spaces in Aachen, which is just across the border from Heerlen, and I've seen a little documentation about them that they were going to do something, but it's very, very idle. So I invite everyone, of course, even from Germany and Belgium, to join up in the space in Heerlen.
Oh, that's nice, because I think in Belgium the nearest one is Brussels, right?
I have no idea. I mean, that's but it's way way far from the Dutch border. So Heerlen would be okay for the east part of Belgium, east and north parts of Belgium, like and up. So yeah, absolutely.
Oh, excellent. And tell us a bit more about because you're also involved with MadSpace. That's been going on for a bit longer, I think. What's the deal with that one?
Yeah, MadSpace is located in the city of Leidt, Eindhoven. And we've started it about, I think, a year ago. Really, really small, in a small office with 5-6 people. And it didn't work out the way we intended to work. It was really a short-lived, short-term based stuff, and the idea there has died out for now. But the space that we rented or we were in has moved to another location, and we are looking for facilities to start up again on that new spot. So yeah, we are absolutely involved to getting that space back up and running again. And yes, we are still looking for people in Eindhoven, which shouldn't be too hard. I mean, come on, it's a city. How many people are there? It's a tech city, so there should be lots of hackers there to start up to start the space there once again.
Definitely.
And are you also aiming at the students? Are there any technical studies there around Eindhoven? Or?
Well, not yet. I mean, like I said, the space itself, the location, will be moved to another location, and we're still investigating what possibilities we have on that location. And of course, we are aiming at students and everyone that is that wants to join us. What I think for the students, especially at Fontys, there is something at the Fontys campsite as well. But of course, this is more open and involved to many many broad spectrum of people who want to join. But anyone is up. So yeah.
Most excellent. Yeah, you hear this a lot, that schools do have some facilities, but then they are closed in the evenings, which is basically the time that you would like to work on hobby projects, right? So,
yeah, we would like to have the space, both spaces in Heerlen and Eindhoven, open several evenings a night, and even the weekend. I mean, 24/7 for the win. So, yeah, we need loads and loads and loads of people, so I would definitely would like to have people that are interested in both joining up XSpace and MadSpace to join our channel on ISC for XSpace. That's of course XSpace, ACK space, and MadSpace. We don't have an ISC channel yet, which is both on Freenode, by the way, freenode.net XSpace. MadSpace doesn't have a channel yet, but please join up in the XSpace channel, and we will you can get in touch with us there.
Hey, Fuber here. I think the coming month there is a TIDOS in the Fontys in Eindhoven. I think that might be a good venue to promote your hackerspace there. What do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, any events that has students and tech students coming to, we will be happily to attend those events, and yeah, of course, spread the word of the hackerspace. I know there's also an event coming up at the 10th of October, which is Nerd Lab, which is stuff to do with robot stuff and etc. You can watch it on the website. We also do intend to promote our hackerspaces there.
Ah, cool. Talking about events, by the way, also in Holland we have coming up the event Gogbot in Enschede. It looks quite cool. They have all kinds of futuristic installations, art, music, technology. On the other side of the ocean, we have something going on in Canada that I would like to mention on this show. The Canadian Hackerspace is basically joined up, and what they're doing is bringing it's called SoonCon. You can find information on SoonCon.ca. They joined up. They have a program with lectures about Zigbee and zero-day disclosures, and they have parties. So if you're in the neighborhood, I would say just go there. Dr. Wex, yes. What do you think? Maybe some music?
I would say yes.
Psychic, thank you for being with us and telling us a bit. Have a question for Psychic?
Does XSpace or MadSpace have a website for the listeners?
Absolutely. XSpace, of course, has xspace.nl. MadSpace has madspace.nl. You can find XSpace on IRC, Twitter, XSpace on the freenode.net. You can also find XSpace on Twitter, which is, of course, #XSpace, tag XSpace. Basically, you can get in touch using the email address info@XSpace, join the website xspace.nl. And there's, for the MadSpace, we only have a website, which is madspace.nl, no email address. So please, if you want to join both XSpace or MadSpace, come to our IRC channel on XSpace on freenode.net and join up. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being on the show.
You're welcome.
I was expecting some music here, but I think we have an off-the-hook moment here. Ah, there it is.
And we are back at the Hackerspace Hour, and on the line we have a really special guest. Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. Good evening.
Good evening, Elgino.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Welcome to the show, and I heard you did a thesis about hackerspaces. How did you become interested in hackers and hackerspaces in the first place?
Well, so I'm doing a sociology thesis on hackerspaces and hacker culture in the Netherlands. And my friend Bicycle Mark first introduced me to hacking culture. He told me about it like in January somewhere. I was like, oh, I need to research this. I want to hear more about this. So then he asked me to join, to go to RestSpace someday. And so we went to Utrecht, and halfway we were to Utrecht, and he realized, oh, damn, RestSpace is in The Hague.
I remember that. He called, no, yeah. He called me. But where do we have to be in Utrecht, Mark? Yeah. It's in The Hague.
Oh, yes.
So that was pretty funny. So eventually we ended up in The Hague, and RestSpace just opened up then, and there were not a lot of projects going on, but I could see a lot of potential there, and I was like, oh, I really want to know more about these guys. And so I got into it.
All right. And, did you include in your thesis how bad hackers are and how they steal your credit card numbers, or is it a really positive thing?
Well, I'm writing kind of about the positive side about hacking, but the hacker culture is pretty diverse, and
if
you include crackers and black hat hackers, whatever you want to call them, the hacker culture, if you want it or not, is being shaped by that other culture as well. So I have to include it because, sometimes you have to deal with the bad people too who call themselves hackers or are named hackers in the media or whatsoever. So I have to include it, but it's not my focus at all. No.
And which groups did you include? Did you include only the hackers themselves, or is the hacker scene really diverse? I mean, did you include the Puikas and the virus scene, for example?
Yeah, I described the history of hacking. At least my history of hacking, I think is interesting. And so freaking was kind of part of it. And also the lockpicking and security, etc. So yeah, that's part of it. Yeah.
All right. Could you tell our listeners about the history of hackers, which you include in your thesis? Or is
that...
I'll
keep it short.
We have the time.
Okay. So I really I've used the book of Stephen Levy a lot. So I kind of follow the same structure as he do. I started at the MIT... It's the Tech Model Railroad Club hackers who started hacking the technology behind the model trains, and then later they started hacking the IBM 704 and how this little culture evolved there and how that spread through the U.S. and got into San Francisco, where you had the hardware hackers and where the first personal computers were made by hackers, by... using technology from big companies that didn't get into the really personal computer thing yet, and then they made it into something great. I describe how a hacker culture in Germany, rise in the from the 80s on. Why hackers got politically active, and how, and what ways, and what the ethics are, what their premises are. And I describe how hacker spaces got into the game as well. Hacker camps, of course. I describe the hacker culture in the Netherlands from the end of the 80s with the hippies from hell. Yeah, and so then I come to the present day.
Right.
So, Eugenio, what is actually your background? That from which perspective are you looking at at us basically?
Yeah. So, my own background. I started off with studying information science. So I have a kind of computer background. I worked with computers all my life. I started with Ataris and Amiga. So I really liked working with computers and, you know, a little hacking. Although I didn't really hack for many years, and then. Yeah, I did new media studies, and now I do sociology. So I really look at the people behind the computers. I don't really describe really technical things in my thesis, although will be part of it for a little bit. But it's really the culture and why they are interesting. You are interesting, I could say.
And did you went to any conferences yet?
Well, Hack in the Box was sort of a hackers conference, although not really because it was more a security conference. But I went to ETH Zero just a couple of weeks ago, and I guess it's a kind of hacker camp, but it's a conference as well. And I got to taste a little of the hacker culture. It was pretty cool. It was a neat experience.
All right.
I'll definitely go again someday.
Awesome.
Where are you in the thesis right now? You've been doing a lot of empirical study, I know, because I see you around at the Hackerspace happenings. When will you be done?
Yeah, so the planning was to be done like 3 weeks ago or something. But my thesis advisor, he said, like, this is a really good subject, you shouldn't finish it too soon. And he said, like, yeah, just keep going for a while and make it something really nice. The next planning is to do it, like, I think end of October.
Oh, that's quite soon already. Will it be available? Can we download it somewhere? Or is it going to be hidden somewhere in a dark university library corner?
Well, maybe we can make a hack challenge out of it or something.
That's the spirit.
No, it's open, and it's available on the web. And a lot of people requested it already from other people who want to study it, the hacker culture, and also hackers want to read it, and Hackerspace is in the U.S. So I'm just going to send it around. I'll put it on my blog.
Ah, nice. So is there anything like an ultimate finding you think there is, or are there like conclusions or things that are essential about Hackerspace that we should all realize and maybe take into our into account?
Let me think. That's a good question. No, I don't think I've all really given advice or something. Maybe you can give some reflection on your own culture and what kind of position you can take in society, because I think hackers have a lot of knowledge on certain points like privacy and security, and I think this knowledge should be used for the greater good, and it's already happening. People are really involved in politics and in making people aware, and that's really good, and I think it should be keep that going.
Cool. Is that in all your research, so to speak. Is there anything unique about Dutch hackers that you didn't find anywhere else, or?
Well, the thing is, I really wanted to go to Germany, to go to hackerspaces there, and to Austria, and more in the U.S. as well. But my fundings were not that high, so I couldn't really compare it to other places. So that's kind of a pity. Yeah.
But
also pretty young still, I guess. The hackerspaces in the Netherlands are not older than more than a year now, or 1.5 year. So yeah, it's not a. It's hard to say at this point, I think.
For a fact, I know that you went to hackerspaces in the U.S. Could you tell us maybe more which hackerspaces you visited?
Yeah, so I was in the U.S. This spring, because my girlfriend lived there, and she lived near Chicago, so I went to Pumping Station 1. I got my contacts through Bicycle Mark, who knows some people there, and he told me to meet Eric Michaud, and he gave me a lot of information. He's very talkative. It was really cool. I really like that space. There was a third hackerspace I visited, and they were really active with a lot of things going there, a lot of active people, and made me really enthusiastic about this whole project, of my whole thesis project, and starting up an own hackerspace in Amsterdam and that kind of thing. So, yeah, they want to extend hackerspaces to doing chemistry, biological things, with having art there and photography. People were making instruments. I thought it was really cool to see all those different cultures coming together at that hackerspace. Yeah.
Yeah, because it seems, well, I listened to your story that the word of hacker got a whole new meaning. I mean, it isn't always about computers. It is about making things. It is about freedom of speech, DIY.
Well, it's exactly. Always been, right?
Well, yes. Yeah. Well, well.
I think it's more like a mentality than that it's really has to do with computers. Just happens to that a lot of hackers are into technology. So.
Yes, that's correct. But I always thought that that the whole hacker stuff came from the programming at MIT, that mm-hmm. if you were really elite, that you were called a hacker in programming. But I mean, those people also were at the train stuff at MIT, so. And hack
yeah,
that
that's where
stuff.
It started with. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a mentality indeed.
Yeah,
I think.
And I think it's a really cool mentality, not just to accept everything in culture, but to do your own thing and break things open and, you know, do something else. It's really cool. Invent things, be creative.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to your thesis and reading it. I think we should move on to some music to think about all this stuff. What do you think, Dr. Wax?
I say yes.
I say thank you, Algina, for being in the show, and well, talk to you soon.
Pleasure. All right. See you later, guys.
Later. And welcome back to the Hackerspace Hour. The previous song was Kangaroo Music Q with Emergency Cutout. And the song you just listened to was Candlestick Maker with Unclog. While we were at ETH0, the conference which was in the Netherlands a couple of weeks ago, we discussed on the Hackerspace Hour, which I did back then, about a website where you could find other events and other conferences which were held in your country or in your region. And we are actually going to make that site in a hackathon soon at the Restspace in The Hague, the Netherlands, with some people from Brussels. And I'm really excited about the hackathon. So if you would like to help with any from the website itself, shoot an email to drwax@2600nl.net. And just sitting next to me is Walter, and he's going to do the Activism Hour next week, Thursday. And could you tell us maybe some more about who your guests are?
Well, actually, it's going to be on the 14th of October.
Oh. Sorry.
Never mind. It's okay. We have assembled a nice panel of hacktivists, and most of them have already finally confirmed to be there. In alphabetical order, it will be Amelia and his daughter. She is the MAP elect for the Pirate Party. She will take the second seat for the Swedish Pirate Party in the European Parliament as soon as they finally get through the procedures of installing the additional seats in the European Parliament as a result of the Lisbon Treaty. We'll talk about that of course. Also, Ot van Dalen, who's director of the Dutch civil rights group Bits of Freedom. We have Adam Katz, who's director of international affairs for the American Electronic Frontier Foundation. We have not complete confirmation, but he has given a preliminary confirmation. It's Jim Kellogg. He's the director of the Open Rights Group, a civil rights group in the United Kingdom. We also have Stefan Marciska, a Hungarian hacktivist. And last but certainly not least, we'll have Jeremy Zimmerman, who's the director of La Quadrature du Net, the French civil rights group. And we also should congratulate Jeremy for getting the written declaration 12 on ACTA signed in the European Parliament. Basically, more than half of the members of the European Parliament have now signed a declaration stating that the process for ACTA should be transparent and should respect fundamental human rights in Europe.
Excellent. So, 14th of October, you'll be there. We already heard the music in the background. That means our time is up. Dr. Wax, any final closing words?
I love you all.
We love you too. Thank you all for listening, and goodbye.
You know the answer already. Everyone knows